Amen. Praise God. Well, that's good, wasn't it? Well, how about those girls from Sanctified Hope? What do y'all think about them? How many of you have never met the girls from Sanctified Hope? Anybody? All right, y'all stand up a minute. Let them, y'all stand up. Amen. So good to have them here. Good to have my bride to be here. Man, good to have my bride. This is her first time to hear me speak live. And so, you're going to see. There you go. And so my critic has arrived. My greatest critic has arrived. Amen. So I got to watch my P's and Q's. I can't cut up like I normally would. I got to act dignified. We don't do that. But we got to do this. I know some of you girls and guys have been in the joint before. Now, he hesitated a while ago. He mentioned that word joint, and you hesitated. I thought you were just going to talk about a joint. But then you went on to say something else. I don't remember what it was about, but you talked about it. But we're going to try this one time. See how it happens. God is good. And all the time. A lot of y'all been down the joint, I see. I don't think it's missing. Here's a couple of COs back in the back, you know. Take it, write your case if you don't act right. I mean, oh, we got a Marine back there. I know, I saw him a while ago. he probably still got some stuff in him. I don't know. Amen. I'd like to call your attention to Psalms chapter 40, one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm of David. How many of y'all like David? I mean, I can identify with David. David messed up a lot, didn't he? But he had some things going for him, too. Man. But Psalms chapter 40 in verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard. Man, I love this. Heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible, not just a pit, but a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Oh, man. And he established my goings. My goings wasn't going too good. Amen. I mean, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm nothing without you. Father, I'm less than nothing. Father, we'd be grateful this morning if you would allow us to enter to your presence and learn from your word this morning. Father, we need you so badly. Father, we love you. Thank you ahead of time for all that you're going to do. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen. Amen. I love the story of David. Like I said earlier, David made a lot of mistakes, but one thing he got right. And he was a man after God's own heart. He had God's favor upon him. In this psalm, we're allowed to have a glimpse into the heart of a king. Now, there's some dispute on when and where David wrote this, but it doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit inspired it all, didn't he? Some say it was written when David was on the run from Saul. Others say it was while he was on the run from his own child, Absalom. Boy, isn't it bad when your own children turn on you? And that's what happened to David. Either way, David is speaking about a time in his life that left him trapped in a hopeless and helpless situation. But even through the terrible time of darkness and fear, God heard his cry and reached into David's pit and lifted him out. He tells us how the Lord lifted him out of the mire and caused him to sing on the rock. You know, people would think he's crazy if you went around singing on a rock, wouldn't they? Amen. I got a rock I sing on all the time. I just want you to know that, all right? I'm not crazy either. Amen. And all of that, he had a new song. It wasn't a song of sorrow, amen. It was a song of gladness and of joy. You know, I found out a long time ago that our God is a God of mercy. Amen. When you mess up, just fess up, get back up, amen, and keep looking up. Amen. That's all you got to do. God will forgive you. He'll let you have second chances. Amen. I found out he can let you have third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chances sometime. Man, I mean, he forgave me so much, I can't even, I lost track how many times he left. And they say, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry, you know. And so, you know, you ever notice how that God has our back? You know, even when we mess up, he's right there. He's sitting there saying, you know what? I need to get you out of this, Chris. I said, what'd I do this time? But you know, the Bible says that Romans 8:28 is a reality. And it says, and we know that not some things, how many things? All things. How about the bad things? How about the time we fall off into sin? Is that still? Man, that's hard to believe that's working together for you. What about when somebody just outright mean to you? All things. How about when you don't have enough money to pay the bills? All things. Everything. Everything. Work together for the good to them that what? Love God. Boy, you know, I've got this problem. I want you guys to help me out. I was reading I'm fixing to get, Janet and I are getting married June 30th. And so, and I said, and the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got to start loving myself. I mean, I can't love Janet until I love myself. Matter of fact, it says, you can't love your neighbor till you love yourself. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. So, you girls, y'all need to fall in love with yourself. Quit beating yourself up. Quit dragging yourself down. Quit kicking yourself in the butt for making all, in the buttocks, for making all those mistakes and the things that got you where you are and where you've been and all that. But just fall in love with yourself. Man, you are a special created creature of God. He formed you in your mother's womb. He gave you the breath of life. And man, he has control of everything. And he's going to cause everything that was bad in your life to work together for your good and allow his light to shine through you. If you fall in love with it, you learn to love God. That love God to them that are what? Called according to his purpose. You may not realize this, but every bona fide, born again child of God is called of God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's a glorious plan. I used to preach a lot of funerals. And I would say, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And I think, boy, when we get to heaven, it's going to be so wonderful. And, you know, and I remember my boy asked me one day, he said, Dad, they're going to be animals in heaven. Man, I was going to seminary. I was in the middle of theology. I thought, boy, I got all this knowledge. I'm going to come up with a big answer. And so I gave Tim the most theological knowledge I could have. And I said, I don't know. And he says, well, where's Jesus getting that horse he's coming back on then? Amen. I got to thinking about that, you know. I guess there ought to be horses up there, right? But I used to say, man, that God's got some things wonderful. But you know what? If you read that verse in context, it says, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. That's not talking about heaven, folks. That's talking about right here, right now. God has some things that your eye has not seen, your ear neither has it entered into your heart. Man, I read that verse long ago, and it said, many shall fear and trust in the Lord. I think about all those people that got saved in prison. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Simply because I yielded to the voice of God. Simply because I was willing to step out and say, here am I, Lord. You may be here today wondering if God can use you. I can assure you he not only can, but he will. Amen. You say, well, I don't feel called. God will take you if you just volunteer. Amen. But this morning, I'd like to look at this psalm. I'd like to look at three things David said about our God in these verses. How he established our, quote, goings. Amen. And these things that are going to cause us to sing upon a rock. First thing I want you to notice, David was a man of prayer. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me and heard my cry. Number one, I want you to notice that David didn't move until God moved. I'm going to say that again. David didn't move till God moved. He said, I waited patiently. Patiently. Patience is a hard thing to do. Any y'all ever pray for patience? The Bible says tribulation works patience. And when you pray for patience, you're asking God to send a bunch of trouble your way. Did you know that? I don't pray for faith. You can't. I don't pray for it personally. I used to, till I read what the Bible said about it. No way. I used to pray that God would love me. I said, God, please love me. Now, I remember who the Lord loveth. He chastens and scourges every son he receives. That God don't love me so much. I said, God don't love me. Boy, but, you know, he waited patiently. But you know what patience, James said this about patience. Knowing this is the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is going to test your faith when you pray for patience. He's going to check you out. He's going to see if you got the stuff. He's going to check it out. He's going to put you through it. He said, and let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect. That means mature and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is our finest instructor. And it teaches us to wait on the Lord. Janet's favorite verse. Janet, you want to quote it? You want me to? But they that wait upon the Lord. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. I got caught her on the spot. Got her nervous. I'm sorry. You got her nervous. Oh, is it up? I wouldn't rebuke Janet if I was you. I've already learned, okay? I'm just joking. Janet's a good woman, great woman. Amen. Have you ever heard the expression, they have a patience of Job? You know why Job has that title on him? Look at everything he went through. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to. I hope I don't have the patience of Job, just to be honest. Between you and I hope I don't have. How many times do we get in trouble by getting in front of God instead of waiting patiently upon him? Sometimes we're praying for something. Never mind, God, I got this. You know, I know a chaplain got in a lot of trouble with the warden for doing that. He was trying to get something into the prison. He's waiting at the gate, and they called a warden at home because he said the warden gave him permission to bring this thing in. I forget what it was, but anyway, he decided to circumvent the warden. The warden finally calls it. I took care of it, warden. Would you do that, Dean? I mean, that's not real. I mean, wardens think that they're king of that unit. He got in a lot of trouble for circumventing the warden, you know. And I tell you what, when we circumvent God, hello, we can get in a lot of trouble too. We try to skirt around the issues and try to say, you know, God, I really don't need your permission to do this. I really don't. I'm going to do this anyway, you know. God's sitting there, oh, really? Oh, really? Yeah. And the second thing I want you to notice about David, not only was he patient, not only did he not move until God moved, he also waited patiently. And while he was waiting patiently, he cried unto the Lord. I heard someone say one time, said, well, we tried everything else, we might as well pray. I think I read somewhere in the Bible says, but seek ye first. Doesn't say to put him last, does it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? God puts us into tough spots sometimes so that we will learn to pray. I mean, you think about it. When things are going good, you're not praying that hard. You're thinking, oh, glory to God, look at me. I'm on the rock, man. I'm singing on the rock. I'm doing good, you know. And then first time something really bad happens, what do? God, did I mess up? Please help me. Search my heart, O Lord, and try me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. So it drives us to prayer. What do you think that James says this? Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If you want somebody to pray for you, find somebody in a lot of trouble. Call them up and say, man, would you pray for me? They're going to say, well, what are you talking about, man? I need prayer. No, really, the Bible says I'm not here to pray. Because they're on their knees and they're on their face seeking God in that situation. It's getting quiet in here, Dean. It's getting awful quiet in here. Y'all kind of scaring me now. When y'all was amening me, what happened? But, you know, trials do more for us spiritually than any other thing in our walk with God. It purifies us. It draws us close to God. It gets us on our knees. Man, I mean, the Bible doesn't call them fiery trials for no reason. They get us cleaned up. Amen. I don't like it any more than you do, okay? I just a side note there. But that's what God does. That's what he does. Number three, I want you to notice that God heard David's prayer. He said, he heard my cry. How many of y'all know that y'all are children of the living God? I'm going to ask you a question. If you were in a shopping mall, how many of you got kids in here? If you were in a shopping mall and your kid cried out, Mama, help me. Oh, you would be, wouldn't you? Why would you do that? Because you love your child. You brought that child into the world, and you care about that child. And when they get in trouble, you want to be there to help them. You're God's child. God brought you into the spiritual realm through his word, and he loves you. God hears your prayers. Sometimes he answers immediately. Man, I remember one day David Weeks and I, and he was my SSI for years. That means support staff inmate or something like that. And I don't think we use that term anymore, but he was my inmate clerk. So David and I, we'd pray every morning. We'd have a prayer meeting every morning. And Warden Marsh was a good warden, but he wouldn't let us have a faith-based dorm. He said, put too much load on the count room and classification. He said, we can't put anything else on them. And so he said, no, we're not going to have a faith-based dorm on this unit. So David and I got on our face one morning, and we was crying out to God, that God, please, move upon Warden to help us have a faith-based dorm. And whenever we concluded that prayer and said amen, the phone rang immediately. You know who's on the other end? No, Miss Ortiz, the warden's boss. Yeah. And she said, Chaplain, do you have a faith-based dorm? I said, no, ma'am, we sure don't. I said, why not? I said, well, Ward Morris don't think it's a very good idea. I said, well, he's going to. I had to do everything I could to keep from laughing. And David saw me. He said, what happened, chap? And I said, that was Miss Ortiz. She said, we're going to have a face-bait dorm. I mean, we almost died. I mean, immediately when we said amen. You know what the Bible says? And it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That's what Isaiah 65:24 says. But sometimes God says, wait a while. We don't like that part, do we? You know, our chapel roof was leaking, and we saw Ferguson lose their chapel one time because their roof fell apart on them. You know, we had the same kind of chapel that Ferguson had at Ellis. And we began to ask the warden, we need your help to get our roof fixed. And no response. We don't have the budget. I wrote the managers in TDC, we can't fix your roof. We don't have the budget. So I wrote the governor of the state of Texas, George W. Bush at that time. Amen. I wrote him. And pretty soon, these guys from Austin come down and is looking at our roof, and these guys from TDC who told us no were with them. They were walking around looking up at that chapel like this, and we were praying that God would get us a new roof. They was looking at that roof, and one of those directors at TDC said, there's nothing wrong with this roof. And right when he said it, a board fell off of it, hit him right between the eyes. Even the warden said that was an act of God. I'm not kidding you. We got a new roof out of that, amen. Boy, And boy, we really don't like this one. Sometimes he says flat out, no. Boy, I mean, Dennis Green, I got to reading up on the Holy Spirit when I first got saved. Dennis Green was my mentor. He was pastoring a little country church in Pittsburgh, Texas. And I said, Brother Dennis, would you pray that I could, that God would fill me with this presence and his spirit? And so he got on his face, and here's why I never forget what he prayed. And I thought, man, he said, Lord, Chris thinks he wants your fullness upon him right now, but I know that he can't handle that. And I thought, man, that's cruel. But you know, God knew, he knew I wasn't mature enough for that on me yet. But boy, one day God did. He knocked my socks off. He did one night when I was coming home from work, he did. And the fourth thing, when we pray, sometimes, you know, I said he hears all of our prayers, right? God's saying, you know what? I might answer your prayer, but you got to get right first. You know, when you're obedient, when you learn to be obedient, I might answer your prayer. You know, Isaiah said this, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Wow. You know, sometimes we just got to search our heart and say, God, what's wrong? How come you're not hearing my prayers? And I'll go ahead and finish that story. One night I was coming home from General Dynamics, had a demon-possessed guy working with me. He would cuss God to his face. He would see me carrying my Bible, and he would cuss the Bible. And, I mean, he was draining me spiritually. And one night I was going home, I always had about a 30-minute drive home. I was praying, I was crying out to God. I said, God, please help me with Otis. I can't handle this. It's like God wouldn't hear my prayers. Finally, I just stopped. I said, God, what's wrong? How come you're not hearing me? And all these little sins began to come to surface. You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You know, God, Satan knows he can't get you with one great big sin. So what he'll do is he'll get these little bitty sins all over you. And they start eating your fruit up. They'll start eating your fruit up. And man, I began to confess envy. I was gotten envious of the preachers and jealous. And all these things in my life, I began to confess them one by one. And boy, whenever I got through confessing, all of a sudden the Shekinah glory of God came down on me. I mean, he filled me that night. I went to work that next day. Otis took one look at me and took off and shot off the other direction. I mean, that demon fled, boy. I was on top of an F-16, not while it was flying. And a guy asked me how to get saved, and I didn't say a word to him. Wow. That's what can happen. That's what can happen. Amen. See, sometimes God hears every prayer, but sometimes there's some things we need to realize about prayer. But you know what? I've had enough of my prayers answered that I'm not going to stop praying. You know that? Amen. You know? I got to do this. Janet and I was looking for a house, you know. And every house we looked at, we found one over here. It was a style house we wanted. We found out the style we wanted. We wanted a house with old-fashioned woodwork in it. Not all this painted stuff. We wanted real wood. We found that out. We liked the house we was looking at, but it didn't have a swimming pool, and it didn't have a room for Janet's piano. And I said, well, Janet, wouldn't this work? I said, we could put the piano upstairs. Yeah, but how are they going to get it up there? And I said, I don't know. We'll figure out a way. And finally we decided, well, that house is... So we found out the style house we wanted, right? And then we went and looked at another house. This thing had this huge cathedral ceiling. And all I was thinking about the whole time we looked at this house, man, it's going to cost a fortune to heat and cool this thing. I said, man. You know. And then, you know, we kind of lowered our standard a little bit. Well, maybe we're looking at too much house. And Janet found this smaller house and right next to the road. It had a small swimming pool, but it was right next to a busy road, you know, backed up to a road. And it did have a three-car garage, but you pull one car in first and pull the other one behind it, you know, like that. And I thought, well, okay, we prayed, we wanted a three-car garage. And I said, well, it might work. You know, we might make this work. And all of a sudden, it hit me. You know, I said, you know, Janet, I said, Janet, I don't want to live next to a highway. So I sent Janet this text several weeks ago. It's called a prayer order house. I got up and I prayed one morning. This is the text I sent you. And I said, Heavenly Father, your word says we have not because we ask not. So Janet and I are asking you for an executive style house with these features. We pray that it would be reasonably close to Sanctified Hope. Remember, we prayed that, didn't we? We ask you to allow us to find a home in the large living area for entertainment, so when you bring Janet's family over. We also ask you for a piano room. Hello. A nice office area. Hello. We ask for a work area for Freedom Academy.
Yes.
We ask for an exercise room, a guest bedroom with a bath, a nice patio so we can enjoy you in the mornings and the evenings, a large dining area for entertainment and guests, a yard that's easily maintained with a swim pool and a 3-car garage. We are asking you because we know you love us and want to bless us so your glory can be seen by others throughout our lives. You said in your word, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. So we call upon you now. In turn, Janet and I will do our best to serve you and glorify you for the remainder of our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name. Guess what we're closing on next week? A house that fits that perfectly. It doesn't have a 3-car garage. It's got a 5-car garage. Because I needed a print shop, and God knew it. I'm telling you, folks, I serve a God that can do anything. We prayed for our closing date to line up perfectly. Without knowing it, without coordinating anything, my closing date's on Tuesday. My signing date for the new house is on Thursday, the next week. This week, as a matter of fact, you know. Lined up perfectly. Hey, I prayed for a suit for our wedding. I thought, well, I got to go into Fort Worth to find this suit. So Janet and I riding around. I said, I need a sport coat for our pictures. You know, we're going to take pictures. And I said, I don't really have a sport coat I can wear. I saw that Belk's over there, wherever it is. And I said, I was looking for JCPenney. And I said, why don't we go in Belk's? Man, I went in there and they had everything 50% off. Oh, wow. And man, I found this coat. I went and tried on these pants. They fit perfectly. And I thought, boy, I'm getting a great deal on this. We got up to the cashier, and guess what? There was an elderly lady up there and said, would you like to get another 25% off this? And I said, wow. I got a suit 75% off. They got that sale going on one more day, brother. Doing. Today's the last day. I'm just telling y'all, today's the last day. You get 75% off.
I don't wear suits.
I know you don't, but they got other stuff. They got cowboy shirts in there, too. Then I started praying about honeymoon. I said, Lord, I hadn't done this in 43 years. I don't know what to do. And man, God miraculously hooked me up with this travel agent from Aledo. Just everything just fell right into place. Right into place. And I went to the VA. I got real concerned. Went to the optometrist there, and all of a sudden he starts shining these real bright lights. You know how they do? He put these real bright lights in your eye, and so it's so powerful you can't hardly stand it. And so he did it once on this eye. He did it once on this eye. He waited a minute. He did it again. And then he did it again, and I thought, man, something's not right here. He said, your retina's trying to detach. And I said, no. So he said, I'm going to give you this medicine to take, so I want you to come back in 3 months. I went back in 3 months, and he did it again. He did it again. Then he showed me pictures. Said, here's what's happening with your eye. I went, wow. So I thought, you know, I'd probably get some attention out of Janet, make her feel sorry for me. Oh, baby, you're losing your eye. I'm losing my eye, honey, please. So anyway, I thought I'd take her to the eye doctor. I got a optometrist. What was it? I can't think of the name of that doctor. It's not an optometrist. It's another one. It's some kind of specialist. Anyway, your retina specialist. And so I went there and took Janet with me. I thought for sure I'd get some attention out of this, you know. They went in and they inspected me. It took about an hour, didn't it? Something like that. They were doing all these tests on me and everything. And Janet went with me to the exit examination, you know, the little thing they do. And the doctor said, there's not really nothing wrong with your eye. And I thought, don't say that in front of Janet. What's wrong with you? And so anyway, so I got out in the truck and I'm thinking, how in the world could a VA doctor make that kind of mistake and scare me like that? And I remember Janet praying for my eye. I said, wow. You know, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. That was my mama's favorite verse. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in the power of prayer? You know, the family is being destroyed by Satan today. I'm just going to give you a heads up here. You know, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And you know, I'm beginning to understand why that's true. Did you know your wife, men, your wife is supposed to be your prayer partner? Did you know that if you become one with your wife, Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, you realize the power you can have in prayer if you had a prayer life with your wife? Do you realize that? And Satan is going to try to destroy that because he knows the power of a family. He knows the power of a husband and a wife praying. You know, I don't know a lot of things, but I would not have wanted my mama to pray for me. Matter of fact, she did pray for me. She did. Because there's power in prayer. If you're not right with God in that area, I wish to God you'd get right this morning. You look at your wife, man, and say, would you be my prayer partner? I need you. And wives, if you'll do that to your husband, drag him up here to his altar if he won't come. Man, see, but let's go on quickly. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, now the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I don't know what David was going through. I don't know if Absalom was after him. I don't know if Saul was after him. All I know is he was in a pit. And a pit is a place where there's no way out. But you know, good things about pit is the only way you got to look is to look up. God put you in spiritual pits for a reason. And now if I got your attention... Hey, can you hear me yet? I loud and clear, Lord. You know, I was telling about prison. Prison has saved more people's lives than anything I know. Man, get out there and get on drugs and alcohol and self-destruct button pushed in. Man, I told some of my guys at LSU, you better thank God for this prison. You'd be dead right now. David says not only pit, it was a horrible pit. It's the kind of pit that keeps you up at night, pacing the floor. Amen. The pit of destruction. Not only that, that pit was full of miry clay. That means he was sinking deeper and deeper. No way out. And God heard David's cry. And he hears the cry of his children. And he set his feet upon a rock. Amen. And the Bible says he established his goings. Amen. And my rock's name is Jesus. Amen. And he's with me everywhere I go. You know one of the most amazing passages I read is in 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says this, and they, talking about the children of Israel, did all drink from the same spiritual drink, and they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Y'all know the story of the children out there wandering around in the wilderness. Bible says that rock followed them around. That rock was big enough to water 6 million Jews and their animals. That wasn't a little bitty tiny stone. It followed them around. That thing was huge. Jesus said, upon this rock, this huge, immovable boulder, I will build my church. Man, we got a huge rock. Not a little bitty, tiny rock. The Bible says, whosoever shall fall on this rock shall be broken. Whom that rock shall fall upon shall be crushed into pieces. I'd rather fall on that rock than have that rock fall on me. I know that. Amen. Jesus is with us always. He establishes goings. It says, David said, also said in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he lies his way. Solomon said, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are your goings established by God this morning? Or are you just wandering around the darkness kind of like a blind man, hoping everything will turn out all right? David said, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You're seeing the result of that right now through Dean. He's just one of the thousands that God, hundreds and thousands that God allowed me to see come to Christ. I take no credit for that, by the way. God did all of it. God did every bit of it. The glory goes to him. The Bible says that we could, when we start praising God, we get into the presence of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We should also come before the Lord with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence and singing. Psalms 100, verse 2. You too can get out of the mire and start singing in the choir. Amen. If you line up with God. I've talked long enough, Dean. Amen. Boy, I tell you, God is good. He's good. Amen. He's good. I don't know where you're at this morning, but God does. I don't know what problems you have, what situations you have in your life, but God does. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts, the intents of your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows where you'll be tomorrow, the next day. He knows the very date you're going to die. He knows all about you. So why not yield to him? Why not just put your life in his hand and say, God, I totally give myself to you. I yield myself totally to you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this church, and Father, for Brother Dean. Father, he's such a good man. Father, you're doing a great work through him. I'm so proud of him, Father. The work that's going on here, Father. Such a people full of love, Father. Full of praise. Oh, God, we love you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Every head bowed just for a second. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if Jesus came back right now, you'd go to heaven? Let me see your hands. I know that I know. I know that I know. Amen. You put your hands down. It looked like everybody raised their hands, but maybe that somebody couldn't raise their hand. Is your soul worth a prayer this morning? Would you let me pray for you? If you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Chris, would you pray for me today? I'm not real sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call up front. I'm not going to ask anybody to pray with you. I just want to pray for you. Would you? Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, you put your hands. How many of you could say here, you know what, there's some issues you addressed this morning that I need to take care of. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just raise your hand? Would you pray for me? Oh, wow, wow. Hands going up everywhere. Wow. Wow. Heavenly Father, we love you. You saw the hands that went up. Father, I don't know if all of them can come to the altar. Maybe they make an altar out of their chair. Cry out to you right now. Father, we'd like to give them an opportunity to come forward publicly because I know you like the people to show themselves publicly. And Father, for that one that raised her hand and said, I don't know that I'm saved, I pray that maybe she'd take Pastor Dean by the hand and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you help me? Father, I know that Brother Dean would take more than honor into showing her how to come to know our Savior. Father, those others that came, that raised their hand, I pray that they might come forward this morning. Father, I pray that husbands and wives would fill this altar and say, God, please help our prayers be mighty. Help us become prayer warriors on your behalf. Please, Father, help us. Father, we need you now. In Jesus' name. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to come up if you would.